Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast. Hey, praise the Lord, everybody. This is Prophetess Crystal McQueen, and once again, welcome to my broadcast, Prophetic Atmosphere. I am humbled that you have taken time out of your schedule to join me, amen, as we begin to dive into this word and hear what the Spirit of the Lord has to say unto his people. But before I get into that, let's go into the announcements for today. Every Tuesday at 7 p.m. and Saturday at 10:30 a.m., join Apostle Christopher McQueen and myself for Kingdom Lifestyles broadcast at every Tuesday and Saturday, amen, 7 p.m. and 10:30 a.m. On Thursday nights, join me for Prophetic Atmosphere, and you can hear us live broadcasted at www.ctkr.org. That is also our website. We invite you there. Amen. Take some time to visit us and even pray about becoming a prayer partner and vision partner with this ministry to help us spread the gospel of the King around the world. As many of you may already know, if you check us out, if you would like myself or my husband, Apostle McQueen, to come and minister at your church, please go, as you're at our website, go to the contact page tab. Click there. Fill out as much detailed information as you can. And please have a good contact number, whether it's email or your cell phone. And someone will get in contact with you in 12 to 24 hours. We also invite you, or I personally invite you, to visit my website, WOPD, which you can find through the ctkr.org website as well. I'd like you to register there. And the reason why I'm asking that, because I'm personally inviting you to come to my conference October 18th and 19th, Women of Prophetic Destiny. This year's theme is Don't Abort Your Assignment, a powerful message that the Holy Spirit has dropped upon me to give to his people. Amen. And again, that's October 18th and 19th. We're hosting it, and it's going to be held at Greater St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church, 213 Stone Street, amen, in the beautiful city of Cocoa, Florida. That's Greater St. Paul Baptist Church, 213 Stone Street, Cocoa, Florida. All services begin promptly at 7 p.m. Intercessory prayer begins at 6 p.m. We do have a Saturday morning service at 10 a.m., as well as conclusion on Saturday night at 7 p.m. I want to see you there. Men and women of God will be coming from all over. Amen. It's going to be powerful. It's going to be mighty. I'm expecting God to move in signs, wonders, and miracles. I'm expecting God to do above what we even can ask him or think. I'm asking God to bring people and into wholeness. Amen. Bring people into relationship with him. I'm asking for souls to be saved. Amen. I'm asking for bodies to be healed. I'm asking to see the hand of God move in the place. Where's that place? It is going to be held once again at Greater St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church, 213 Stone Street in Cocoa, Florida. You can also visit us, Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, as well as my site, WOPD, Women of Prophetic Destiny, on the Facebook page, where more information concerning my conference is there. We also invite you to like us on the Facebook pages, leave prayer requests and praise reports. We want to know what God is doing in the lives of his people. Amen. Amen. And those, people of God, are the announcements for today. And we're going into prayer, and then we're going to get into this word. Amen? Glory. Amen. Father, right now in Jesus' name, I thank you. I praise you. I worship you. Lord, this is a day. This is the day that you have ordained for us to be. This is the day, God, that you have purposed for us to live. Oh, God, we thank you. We thank you. We praise you right now. God, I pray, hallelujah, that this day, that this word that goes forth tonight will begin to deliver your people. This word that goes forth tonight will begin to prick the hearts of your people. In the name of Jesus, Holy Spirit, come now. Move, intervene, step in as I begin to minister this word. Let the people not hear me, but let them hear you in me. In Jesus' name, God, let this word begin to change us right in your presence. Hallelujah. In the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we magnify, we glorify you. We thank you. You're worthy of all praise. You're worthy of all glory. We can't do this without you, God. We have no purpose. Hallelujah. Unless you give it to us. Help us, God. To get past ourselves right now. Help us, hallelujah, take the shackles off our feet, our hands. God, unstop our deaf ears. Let us hear from you spiritually. Touch our minds now, God. Plead the blood of Jesus over our minds, over our thoughts, over our consciousness. In the name of Jesus, we plead the blood over our mouths, over our words. We plead the blood of Jesus over our bodies. Over the ministries, God, in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, help us to get a seriousness and a soberness to your kingdom concerning the things of the kingdom. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you already for the men and the women, sons and daughters that are already standing in the gap. We thank you for those who have not bowed down to this foolishness in the world system. We thank you right now that those who are still on the wall crying aloud and sparing not, we thank you now. Let the words that they speak, God, that we take them into heart and we walk in not only authority, but we walk in obedience to what you've called us to do. We bless you. We praise you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Tonight, people of God, I just kind of want to take a temporary turn from what I have been teaching on the last few weeks, talking about the Christian character, the series that we have been talking about for a few weeks now, and I will conclude it, amen, next week if the Lord says the same. But as I was meditating and praying before coming on air tonight, amen. I said, Lord, there's something else stirring in my spirit, and it's not about this particular message tonight. And as I was going forth, amen, and quieting my spirit to hear what he has to say, amen, and he spoke and led me to a familiar passage of scripture in the book of John, chapter 6. Book of John, chapter 6. Starting at the third verse. Amen. Book of John chapter 6, starting at the 43rd verse. And I'm going to do a little bit of reading tonight, so bear with me, people of God. And the word reads as such, Jesus therefore answered and said to them, do not murmur among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father with me draws him. Reading out of the New King James Version. And I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Therefore, anyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Most assuredly, I say unto you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. And he said, 3, just drop down just one verse. He said, most assuredly, I do say unto you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh, amen, is food indeed. Indeed, he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, or as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna, are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. And may the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. And here it is, we have Jesus having a conversation, amen, right after walking on the water. Just got through ministering and going forth and fed the 5,000, and he decides to take some time, amen, and step away and kind of commune with the Father. And then as soon as he gets back, the next day, amen, as he's with his disciples, then they ask him, they say, listen, when did you come here? He's talking to the people at Capernaum. And when did you come here? And he says, listen, and this is Jesus talking to him, and I'm just kind of paraphrasing to catch us up so I get into the meat of what I want to talk about. He says, listen, you seek me not because you want me, but because you want the fish and the loaves. You follow after me because you want a sign. You don't follow after me because you want me. And so it is today, people of God. We have now many that are seeking after God, not for the simple fact because he is God, but because they want a sugar daddy. Not because he is worthy to be glorified and worshiped, but because I need something. I need my house. I need my car. I need this job. I need this favorable word. I need this business getting off the ground. I need this ministry to be expanded. And he says, listen, he said, don't labor for the food which perishes. For the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has his seal on him. In other words, people of God, we can't get, and you've heard me say this time and time again, and I'm going to reiterate it once more until the Lord changes my message. We have to come to a place that is no longer about the things. We don't need to no longer seek God just because we got to get something. We go to God to worship him, to honor him, to be in awe of him, to seek after him, to find out what is on his heart, what makes his heart beat, what is his concern? Amen. He sups with you because he wants to commune with you. But 9 times out of 10, it's mostly, amen, and it's not everybody, but for many, we only want to seek him because we're trying to obtain, I need favor in the Lord's sight. But really what it is I need favor in the sight of man. So I got to seek God so I can get the favor in the sight of man. So we only preach, we only teach messages, feel goodsies, messages that only talk about how to get to the next level in God so I can get my things. Or as the apostle says, so I can get my stuff. And we have many books, teachings, conferences, trainings that have been written time and time again over people trying to get their stuff. How can I use the Father through Jesus to get my stuff? And he says clearly, listen, it's not about the stuff. You need to get a revelation. You need to be focused on the one who is the giver of the stuff. Because let's face it, many of y'all, let me digress a little bit because I don't want you to think that prophetess is throwing off on people, because that is definitely not the spirit that I want to come in tonight. It's not about throwing off on people and pointing the fingers at folks. But we have a lot of deceived people, people who love God. I know people that love God with everything that is in them, love them. But because of the poor diet, spiritual diet that they have been fed, they only see God as one-dimensional. It's not about going farther. It's not about going deeper. It's not about finding out what his purpose is for my life or for their life so that they can begin to pursue after righteousness and the like. It's all about, I went from a 2-bed to a 3-bed, 3-bed to a 5-bed, 5-bed to a mansion. And now because I am here, I can stand and tell you that I am anointed. I can stand here and tell you that God has favored me. I am blessed. Well, I beg to differ because I know people personally that are not living in the mansion. That maybe have a small 2-bedroom house and have been there for many years and are happy with Jesus alone. But whenever folks get in trouble, they go to that place, that person, and ask them for prayer. And then when they take their petition to the Father, he hears them. And whatever that person needs, it is answered according to his will. So my question today, is it more important to have the things, or is it more important to be known by the Father? And let me make it more clear. Is it more important to be recognized by man? Or is it more important that when you pray, God moves? So, and they talked about, I'm getting still moving to where I'm going. They said, listen, okay, you're the Son of God. We need to be focused on you. And they said, so now what shall we do that we may work the works of God? And Jesus said to them, listen, this is the work of God, that you believe in him who he sent. And they still yet ask for a sign. See, what troubles me, people of God, is that we're not satisfied. And I know my husband preached on this. We are really, truly not satisfied with what God gives us. We're not truly satisfied in him alone. We always want more. We always want to do more. We always want to seek after more. Because we're always looking at the neighbor. We always want, I believe you, Lord, as soon as I see a sign. I believe you as soon as I see a sign. He said, listen, this is the work of God, that you believe in him who sent me. The Bible strictly says, blessed is the man, or blessed is the one who believes and has not seen. I'm going to let that sit for just a second. We have a society now that is so self-centered, self-focused, self-driven, self-contained, until they ignore everything around them, and now ignore everything and everybody, and now when everything is falling down around them, they can't understand what's going on. He said, listen, here's the one thing that we got to understand. People are teaching and training. I'm just teaching tonight. I'm not going to be doing a lot of hollering and screaming, because I really want us to understand this tonight. And I want you, man or woman of God, to truly understand this. We need to really start listening to what is being preached over the airwaves, over the radio, over our TVN, church channel, Word Network, and all the sorts, and our local ministries. We really need to be listening to what is going out across these pulpits across the nation to find out, are they really preaching the true unadulterated gospel of Jesus Christ, or are they teaching a Gnostic gospel that is independent of Jesus Christ? See, where people are challenged at is that as long as the music is bumping, as long as the house is jumping, as long as they always got something going on so I can entertain myself, I don't care if they're preaching correctly or incorrectly. But yet, and it's not every church, there's men and women of God, there's churches out there that are standing up for righteousness and truth, not taking down, not taking back, standing for what God has called them to stand for. But that's not what I'm preaching on. They're with us. I'm moving forward. Amen. Glory to God. Pray for them and let them keep pushing as we're all pushing towards kingdom design. But I'm challenging you, that one who's gotten comfortable and complacent, to be entertained instead of going to seek after him. Those of you, amen, who are, you know, have just enough word, just enough word to sound good, but not enough word to manifest his glory. He said in 44, listen, no one, John 6:44, can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. When you preach him, when you preach Christ, then the altars will be full. When you preach Christ and him crucified, then the altars will be full of people wanting to be saved, people that want to cry out, people that are seeking after him, people that want to be changed in his image. But now, either we just have a group altar call, everybody raise their hand and repeat this after me, or we have no altar call. There's many churches, you don't hardly see altar call for salvation. What you do see, as long as it's like, I need someone to touch and agree, I need somebody to pray for me. Everybody trying to run up, I need a prophetic word. Everybody trying to run up for that. But when it comes strictly to salvation, you don't hardly hear the call, the altar call for let someone be saved. Because oftentimes, we're not preaching him. And if you're not preaching him, then the Father can't draw. He said, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. Ephesians 2 and 8 says this. For by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. In other words, you didn't get there by yourself. You didn't come there alone. You just didn't, I want to be saved today. I think that's what I'm going to do. There was a word that was taught. There was a message. There was something that went on in that service or wherever you may be. Everybody doesn't get saved in the church. I understand that. It is just the time that God decides to call your name and prick your heart. And you know when he calls you, and you know when that when he starts wooing you to him, and you say, I got to change. I got something's got to get. I can't keep living the way I'm living. I'm tired. Every person I've talked to that has came to Jesus, no one was going up there like, this is the best. They were like, I'm tired. The world beat them down. And God knows how to draw those who he wants. He knows how to strategically orchestrate your path, your life pathways, so that you don't do nothing but run dead smack into him. Jesus. When you come with your hands raised and you say, Lord, I can't do it anymore. I have a pastor friend who, she said, I came to church. She said, when I got saved, she said, I had my go-go boots on and my mini skirt on, cut high, no back out, cut low. She said, listen, I was so beat down for life that I couldn't even hardly wait. When I got to the church, I couldn't even hardly wait for the pastor to preach. I just wanted to go to the altar and get my life together. She said, out of everything that man said, she said the one thing that rung in her ears were, are you tired? And she said, I heard those words, and the Holy Spirit, she said, I know who it is now. She said, but all that kept ringing in my spirit, in my head, those words, aren't you tired? Aren't you tired? Aren't you tired? Until finally she said, I'm tired. Yes, I'm tired. I'm tired of all of this. And she took herself up there. She said, mini skirt, no, cigarette probably still hanging. She said, getting ready, still hanging her hand. And she got saved. But she said that the man that was preaching a powerful message. We don't see powerful messages being preached anymore. We got good orators. We got good motivational speakers. We got people all talking about getting your money and getting your things. But we have no one really talking about, amen, talking about just Jesus and him. Don't nobody really, honestly, it's sad, people of God, but people don't really, in America anyway, they don't want to hear about the name of Jesus. They just want the signs, just like they did back here in the New Testament, in the book of John. Show us a sign. Show us a wonder. Huh? Then we'll believe. I want this. If you show me that, give me that, then I believe. So we have people that walk away disturbed and discouraged because things aren't changing and moving fast enough. Because I prayed, I asked the Lord, and I'm still sitting here. I'm still waiting. I'm still waiting. I'm still waiting. Well, all the while you were waiting, you weren't seeking after him. You weren't trying to draw close to him. You weren't trying to move where he was moving. because the motive was wrong. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. And we have too many people trying to flaunt their resume, huh? Their spiritual resume. Look what I did. And because I've done all these things, I am sure enough chosen by the King. Well, you may be the one that's rejected and the one that's over here feeding the poor and the ones that are over here speaking to those who are unlovable, those ones that are reaching out to those that no one else wants to deal with. Listen, one thing we got to understand, people of God, is that those unlovables are God's creation as well. Those untouchables are God's creation as well. And the point is, especially in this last day, can you minister when it doesn't fit your perception of what you think it ought to be? Can you still give an accurate prophetic word to a man or a woman of God that does not look anything like you, sound anything like you, looks threatening, evil even? Can you minister the word? Can you minister a life-changing prophetic word? Can you stand to tell them that Jesus loves them in spite of? Philippians 1 and 29, for to you it has been given, granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but, here it is, but to also suffer for his sake. Now we're getting into the meat of some stuff. Because if you're going to be on the Lord's side, if God saves you, you're going to be processed to be prepared for the kingdom. You're not going to just get saved and there's no change and you're just going to walk into heaven the same way when you got saved. Now, it's one thing if the Lord removed you're saved and then he removes your candlestick immediately. That's one thing. We're not talking about those situations. We're talking about people who have accepted Christ in their life, who have submitted to a pastoral authority, but refuse to allow the power of God to process them, refuse to allow the word of God to process them. It's not enough to just believe in him, but you got to suffer with him in order to reign with him. And that is the part that people don't want to deal with. Nobody wants to go through. Nobody wants to be challenged. Nobody wants to be looked at. Nobody wants to deal with the suffering. And the suffering, because when we hear that word, we think, oh God, Dana, it's going to be a mess. When I heard, when the Lord told me about the calling of being in the prophetic, all I remember, Lord, they killed the prophets. And all I know is self-preservation was here. I can't die. I got to live. I can't die. I'm not trying to answer this call because I don't want to die. And too many of us, and he wasn't talking about physical, he was talking about you got to die to yourself, your self-image of who you think you are. You need to die to your fleshly desires. You need to die to your will. You need to die your purposes, your designs, and your desires in your life. Your path has changed. And I have chosen a path for you. You need to get on this path, and you need to make this change. And part of that change, amen, was the being processed. And let me tell you, people, got anybody, not just the prophets, let me tell you something. Everybody who is called, who has an anointing on their life, who, especially for those who have any type of mantle, whether it's prophet, pastor, teacher, evangelist, or prophet or apostle. The bottom line is you are going to have to be processed to wear the mantle with grace and mercy. And we have too many half-baked fivefolds because they refuse to be processed. They refuse to allow the full suffering to take place. In other words, I'm going to break it to you like this. 2 Timothy says it like this in chapter 3 and verse 12. He said, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. See, that's why ain't nobody trying to get saved. These church folks is crazy. They crazy every time. They may be, but have you even thought about that dealing with them is helping to process you into Christ's image in you? All that quote unquote crazy church folks we talking about, and we all know them. We've all seen them in action. Them dragging you through the mud, talking about lying, doing all this stuff. Two things are happening. Is that if the plans are coming your way, or if the intentions are coming your way, then that God is using them, amen, to process you, to burn out what's in your heart, what's in your mind, and trying to forge His character on the inside of you, so that no matter what people say, you're not shaken or moved by it. You're not shaken or out of pocket, or I don't know how people don't know who I am. But when God begins to form in you, then instead of you looking at people and ready to lash out, you begin to pray for them. You begin to cover them. You begin to have mercy. And for many of us, we run away from the process that God is trying to forge in us. They don't like me. They talked about me. Well, I just read it to you. He said, those that desire, just desire to live right, desire to live righteous, amen, will suffer persecution. Excuse me. So we got to get off of this. I can't go through it. I can't handle this. I'm untouchable. Nobody's untouchable. Nobody is untouchable. If you plan to preach this gospel in all its power and all of its authority and all of its strength, then you have to have some kind of participation in this. That's the word. Now, for the baby Christians, you don't understand. When I first got saved, I didn't understand why folks would just begin to flip the script, because I would say, well, this is what the Lord is saying. Well, this is what I'm hearing the Lord say. And they would flat out in my face say, that ain't God. Who called you as what you say you were? Prophet who? Prophet is what? You ain't been processed. How do you know? What type of prophet are you? See, all that junk was nothing but tricks of the enemy. And here at that time, I was newly saved. I really wasn't trying to call myself into the office. I knew God called me in the office. I didn't fully understand. I had to be processed. But I wasn't sitting up here trying to wear a mantle or call myself in an office that I had not been ordained into. I was being processed. That was my ultimate goal, is what I'm saying. But I didn't already start. I got saved today, called as a prophet tomorrow, then I'm all the call me prophet so-and-so. I was being processed daily. And I had to understand that everybody's not going to want to hear what you have to say. No, that everybody does not want to hear what thus saith the Lord, especially when it comes to exposing those hidden secret things. Listen, everybody's not shouting your name because they're happy for you. So I say, prophet, don't get discouraged. Go through the process. Everybody. And the thing is that the enemy tries to sneak in there and use rejection. Because you've been rejected so long, the prophet begins to set up in his or her heart a hardness. He wants you to be hard in your heart so that there's no mercy. So when you begin to speak forth his words, they come out harsh. They come out crass. They come out unloving. I know what I'm talking about. The Lord had to deal. You always have a sword. Prophet doesn't always have to cut with a sword. Yes, there's times when you do need to bring the sword out and just slice and dice. But he'll lead you to that, and he'll show you how to properly do that without killing the soul. But when you have a prophet that has been rejected and abused and is carrying swords, S-O-A-R, swords in their spirit, hurts, deep hurts. If you have a prophet that never heals, they're angry, they're bitter, they're harsh, they're hard. Every word that come out their mouth is about doom and gloom. There's no life. There's no love. But a seasoned prophet understands that there's a time to tear down. There's a time to war. There's a time to fight. There's a time to root out. There's a time to pull up some stuff. But also, prophet, there's also a time that you need to be building and planting. And here's the reality of this, is that you should always be tearing out something, but planting something of Christ at the same time. And we have too many hurt. We've left too many dead people, spiritually dead people in our wake, because we did not take the time to get healed ourselves. We didn't take the time to be processed. So we even cut heads off. Cut arms off, left people bloodied and abused, and left people maimed, so that when that other pastor or teacher or someone else begins to try to minister, they got a person who angry, bitter, malicious being on their hands because of one person who would refuse to be processed. Who refused, amen, to suffer for his sake, who refused to go through the process or allow, instead of allowing themselves to be processed, they let the rock fall on them instead of them falling on the rock. I know what I'm talking about. And then you wonder, well, don't nobody want to talk to me? Nobody wants to be bothered with. They don't want to be bothered with me, child, because they know I'm a seed. No, it's not that. They don't want to be bothered with you because you're evil. Because you're angry at the world. He said it here. If you desire to live godly in Christ Jesus, all who desire to live godly in Christ will suffer the persecution for his sake. Who are we doing this for? When we stay focused on the matter, which is Christ, then you can stand the persecution. You can stand the shifting. You can stand the shaking. You can stand them lying on you. I'm not saying anything about folks being perfect. No one's perfect. Prophetess isn't perfect. You're not perfect either. There's days you have it all together, and there's days you're like, whoo, missed that. But you're not purposely trying to miss that. He said, oh, God, having the same conflict which you saw in me and now here is in me. So through unity, and then here's the thing, something about conflict. When when you have conflict, whether it's in your job, in your home, in the church, it can do one of two things. It can either build you or destroy you. I'm going to say that again. Two things about conflict. It's either going to build you or it's going to destroy you. Build you in conflict. You don't know who you are. You don't know how you respond. We say a whole lot of things when it's just a hypothetical situation. But let it flip and become, as they say, this is real now. This is getting real. When it gets real, then we begin to see who you really are. You begin to see who you really are. Because out of conflict, when the fire starts burning hot, then we begin to see that dross that begins to rise up to the top. And if you spend time in his face, you spend time turning the plate over, you spend time seeking fellowship with the master, then when conflict comes, you'll be ready for it. Even when God begins to show you some things that ain't of him. And we all say, yes, I use the word ain't. Take some time to fast before him. When you begin to fast, really fast. I ain't talking about this little bitty cute stuff. I get my one day a week. I'm talking about when you really say, Lord, I got to get some days up here for you. Then as you begin to consecrate yourself or fast, things that the Lord has been trying to get you to deal with, things that he's been trying to talk to you about, begin to start rising to the surface. You start seeing the flaws that you normally were blinded to. But at the same time, as he's showing you the flaws, you're repentant. Because you want to please him. Whereas before the fast or before the consecration or before trying to seek after him, well, that's just me. They had it coming. Shouldn't have said that. You start making assumptions, start making conversations, start doing certain things. And you have no repentance about it. It doesn't become something that resonates and say, you know, why did I do that? Why did I say that? And then you start seeing the real motive behind your actions. But something about a battle, but that's what battling and warring will do to you. It'll bring up things out of you that you never thought existed in you. And people either come out like roaring lions, or they come out like fearful dogs with their tail between their legs. Some people hate conflict because what's in them is nothing but fear. Somebody, there had to be some trauma. People, when they don't like conflict, they avoid issues. And I guarantee they avoid everything else in their life that seems hard. Anything that seems hard, I avoid it. Anything that causes me a challenge, I avoid it. I try to circumvent it with something else. I try to do something. I don't want anybody. I just don't want no kind. I don't want to deal with it. Well, baby, in this Christian life, in this Christian walk, you're going to have to deal with the devil. The devil ain't going nowhere. He ain't shying back. He ain't stepping back. He ain't coming to you talking about, well, oh, you don't want to be bothered today? Okay, how about making an appointment for next week? No, he's coming after you with everything he got. So I'll be doggone if I'm going to sit here and let him just take from me. You done been saved too long. You done been cried out too long. You've been patient too long. You've been living this life too long. You've been doing all you know how to do long to just let the enemy come and take whatever he wants to take. And those that refuse to battle in the spirit or war in the spirit will just let him run roughshod all over their lives. And they live a victim life instead of a victorious life. Conflict to show you what, who you and what you are really made of.
He said, going back to John 6,
he said, no one comes to me unless the Father who sent me, unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. He said, it is written in the prophets, and they shall be taught by God. Anyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. In other words, there's nothing outside of Christ. And that's what I'm thinking, getting back to what I was talking about earlier. We got to be careful what we call ourselves listening to. We got to be careful what, who and what we submit our ears and our five senses to, because we're taking a lot of stuff in thinking this is God, and a lot of things are not God. A lot of teachings that are being mixed with just sprinkled with enough of Jesus, just sprinkled now with enough of Jesus, but it's not really the gospel. And we have this hodgepodge gospel that has that is being taught in many houses, amen. But there's no power. There's no revelation. There's no conviction. Holiness is still right. Don't care how you feel about it. Sanctification is still right. Don't care how you feel about it. There is a lifestyle that must be maintained. There is a walk that must be maintained. There has to be a separation from the godly and the world. If I could just get close enough to the edge, if I could just get right to the edge of this thing, I'll be all right. No, he said, come out from amongst them and be ye separate. Not in just name only, but in character and action. Something got to be different about you. Somebody needs to know that you know the name of Jesus. Let me get back to this. Listen, therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me, not that anyone has seen him, except he who is from God. This is Jesus talking. He says, you believe in me? He said, he who believes in me, verse 47, has everlasting life. Has everlasting life. He who believes in me has everlasting life. For God so loved the world, John 3:16, familiar passage to everybody, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now let's take it down one more. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him, listen now, you believe in him, not just, and here's the thing, it's not good enough to just believe his name. I believe in the Lord. A whole lot of people believe in the Lord. A whole lot of people believe in the name of Jesus. But when it comes to demonstrating his character, we got a whole nother different story. He's not just talking about believing in me and my name and that's it. He's saying you need to believe in me and act like I would act. Respond the way I would respond. The old rap song said it, Ludacris wrote it, said, when I move, you move. Just like that. But he who believes in me is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already. Why? Because he does not believe in the name of the only begotten Son of God. I'm not saying it. The word's saying it. The word is saying it. We got to get this together. We have to begin. And I'm not talking about we got to go back to the doilies on the head. I'm not talking that we got to be covered up from our neck all the way down to our toes. I'm not talking about no makeup and all this other stuff and, you know, looking crazy. We're not talking about that. But I'm saying that when people see you, they should know that there's something about you that is different. They should see that there's something that is in your character that represents Christ Jesus. You should not be ashamed to talk about him. You can't be talking about him in secret, but yet try to profess him all up in church on Friday and Saturday and Sunday or whenever you go, Sunday morning. Everybody in the church know you say, but nobody outside the church even knows that you know him. He said, he who believes in me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Christ is the life. Christ is our life. Christ should be your life. And when he is your life, and you seek to emulate his character in your life, then all this craziness will stop around your life. Then things start getting in perspective. Then you see, you know what? I got a mission. I need to be up on my job. I need to be performing some things. He said, listen, 48, I'm the bread of life. 51, drop down. I am the living bread, which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, anyone accepts me, he will live forever. That's my time. Come on, let's pray. Father, right now in Jesus' name, God, we thank you right now for your word. Father, I pray that this word begins to prick the hearts and the minds of all of us, that we need to seek after you with everything, that we need to put on your character, that it's not just enough to say your name in the atmosphere, but that our lives will begin to emulate that which we say, what we stand for. God, right now, help us to begin to walk out the things of the kingdom in the name of Jesus. Now, those who are not saved, please repeat this prayer after me. Father, I'm a sinner. Come into my heart and my life. Change me into your image and likeness. I will serve you with everything. I love you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, welcome into the kingdom of the Most High God. We here at Christ the King Redemptive Ministries pray that you will be led to Spirit-led, Holy Spirit-led to a Bible-believing teaching church where they are teaching and preaching the unadulterated gospel of Jesus Christ, with signs and wonders following, and teaching and training you, man of God, woman of God, to grow up and be mature in the things of God and begin to serve your kingdom destiny, in the mighty name of Jesus. Listen, I want you to go to my website, www.ctkr.org. I want you to go and check out my flyer. Listen, I am asking you to come. You don't want to miss this conference. WOPD, Women of Prophetic Destiny, October 18th and 19th. Want to miss this thing beginning. Christ the King Redemptive Ministries is hosting. It's being held at Greater St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church, 2123 Stone Street in Cocoa, Florida. We're 2 weeks away. I want to see you there. You do not want to miss this conference. If you come expecting, God will not disappoint. Amen. Amen. Listen, I'm Prophetess McQueen. I love each and every one of you. And I will see you again next week at 7 p.m. for Prophetic Atmosphere. Be blessed. Good night.